Good morning. Going to call to order the Board of Assessment Review meeting for April 9th, 2026. It is 9 a.m. My name is Ryan Adams, and considering the board has a slightly different composition from last year, I think it might be good for the record if everyone could put their names on the record. Board.
Eric Davis.
James O'Rourke.
Thomas Roth.
Karen Warner.
Jeffrey Howard.
Thank you. The first order of business is the appointment of a chairperson, and if we have any nominations, now is the time.
I'd like to nominate Mr. Tom Roth as chairman.
Second.
If there are no other nominations, we will do a roll call on the motion.
Aye.
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 With the roll call of 5-0, Mr. Roth is appointed as chairperson, and the meeting is yours, sir.
Okay. First item on the business is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Keeler, are there any changes to the agenda?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members of the board. I do have one change to the agenda. The removal of property assessment hearing. The last one on the list, Edward Greskovic. Parcel number 334-14.13-163. We can strike that item from the agenda.
Very good. Is there a motion to approve the amended agenda?
Make a motion to approve the amended agenda.
Second.
We'll vote. We have a motion and a second. We'll take the vote. Mr. Davis?
Aye.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Aye.
Ms. Warner?
Aye.
Mr. Howard?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye, so the agenda is approved. Next is the approval of minutes for the meeting of July 23rd, 2025. Does anyone have any corrections? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
I'll second the motion.
I have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of July 23rd, 2025. We will take that vote. Mr. Davis?
Aye.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Abstain.
Ms. Warner?
Aye.
Mr. Howard?
Aye.
And chair votes aye. So the motion to approve the minutes is approved, 4 yes and 1 abstention. Next, we open the floor to public comment. Any member of the public present today may come forward to address the board. Any comments must be limited to items over which the board has control or jurisdiction and must not address the specifics of any appeal. Comments must be limited to 3 minutes. Are there any public comments? Hearing none, we'll move on. Next is the consent agenda. Mr. Keeler, would you read the items listed in the agenda which require the approval of the board?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Number one, parcel 131-10-82. Number two, parcel 131-15-14. Number three, parcel 131-8-40.19. Number four, parcel 131-9-66. Number five, parcel 132-1.15-166. Number six, parcel 134-12-270. Number seven, parcel 134-13-1267. Number eight, parcel 134-13-1284. Number nine, parcel 134-13-1333. Number 10, parcel 134-13-1348. Number 11, parcel 134-13-1695. Number 12, parcel 134-13-1696. Number 13, parcel 134-13-1697. Number 14, parcel 134-13-1698. Number 15, parcel 134-13-1708. Number 16, parcel 134-13-1710. Number 17, parcel 134-13-1711. Number 18, parcel 134-13.11-21. Number 19, parcel 134-13.15-186. Number 20, parcel 134-13.15-95. Number 21, parcel 134-13.19-189.01. Number 22, parcel 134-16-1626. Number 23, parcel 134-16-41.02. Number 24, parcel 134-2-4-69. Number 25, parcel 134-22-7.03. Number 26, parcel 134-23.16-56. Number 27, parcel 134-23.20-167-1. Number 28, parcel 134-23.20-167-3. Number 29, parcel 135-19-123. Number 30, parcel 230-1-37. Number 31, parcel 230-7-47.03. Number 32, parcel 231-18-112. Number 33, parcel 232-12.19-19.01. Number 34, parcel 232-12.19-19.02. Number 35, parcel 233-5-195. Number 36, parcel 234-11-457. Number 37, parcel 234-29-566. 38, parcel 234-34.08-150. 39, parcel 234-8-46. Number 40, parcel 234-8-48. Number 41, parcel 235-20-25. Number 42, parcel 331-5-59. Number 43, parcel 334-13-1049. Number 44, parcel 334-13-1158. Number 45, parcel 334-13-325.11. Number 46, parcel 334-13-681. Number 47, parcel 334-13-928. Number 48, parcel 334-13.20-126. Number 49, parcel 334-14.05-1. Number 50, parcel 334-14.05-17. Number 51, parcel 334-14.14-43-17C. Number 52, parcel 334-14.14-43-19A. Number 53, parcel 334-14.14-43-19B. 54, parcel 334-14.17-116. Number 55, parcel 334-14.17-401. Number 56, parcel 334-14.17-402. Number 57, parcel 334-19.08-42-28. Number 58, parcel 334-19.08-42-29. Number 59, parcel 334-20-73. Number 60, parcel 334-20.13-230. Number 61, parcel 334-20.18-178. Number 62, parcel 334-20.18-247. Number 63, parcel 334-8.17-14. Number 64, parcel 334-8.17-76. Number 65, parcel 335-12-3.11-S-11. Number 66, parcel 335-12-3.11-S-154. Number 67, parcel 335-4.14-61. Number 68, parcel 335-8-1001. Number 69, parcel 335-8-1079. Number 70, parcel 335-8-1096. Number 71, parcel 335-8-1161. Number 72, parcel 335-8.07-346. Number 73, parcel 335-8.07-359. Number 74, parcel 531-13-22. Number 75, parcel 531-15-134. Number 76, parcel 532-14-51. Number 77, parcel 532-14-93. Number 78, parcel 532-15-84.02. Number 79, parcel 532-20.10-49.01. Number 80, parcel 533-12-365. Number 81, parcel 533-16-110.01. Number 82, parcel 533-16-110.02. Number 83, parcel 533-16-110.03. Number 84, parcel 533-19-304. Number 85, parcel 533-19-33. Number 86, parcel 533-19-37. Number 87, parcel 533-19-618. Number 88, parcel 533-19-619. Number 89, parcel 533-19-620. Number 90, parcel 533-19-621. Number 91, parcel 533-19-622. Number 92, parcel 533-19-623. Number 93, parcel 533-19-624. Number 94, parcel 533-19-626. Number 95, parcel 533-19-627. Number 96, parcel 533-19-628. Number 97, parcel 533-19-629. Number 98, parcel 533-19-630. Number 99, parcel 533-19-631. Number 100, parcel 533-19-632. Number 101, parcel 533-19-633. Number 102, parcel 533-19-634. Number 103, parcel 533-19-635. Number 104, parcel 533-19-636. Number 105, parcel 533-19-637. Number 106, parcel 533-19-890. Number 107, parcel 533-19.12-114. Number 108, parcel 533-19.12-37. And number 109, parcel 533-20.09-115. Mr. Chairman, that ends the parcels for the consent agenda.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the board? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda? Second? I have a motion by Ms. Warner and a second by Mr. Davis to approve the items on the consent agenda. We will vote. Mr. Davis?
Aye.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Aye.
Ms. Warner?
Aye.
Mr. Howard?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. The motion passes 5-0. Now we move on to the property assessment hearings. The first hearings is for Anthony D'Urso for property at 29549 East Drive, Bethany Beach, Delaware, parcel number 134-5.00-165.00. Good morning.
Good morning.
First, I will swear you in, along with Mr. Keeler and
Joseph Callahan.
Mr. Callahan, do you all swear that the evidence you shall give to the board in this manner shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Keeler?
I do.
Mr. Callahan? Thank you. Mr. D'Urso, is that correct?
D'Urso.
This is your opportunity to present your testimony. However, you're limited to documentation and evidence that was included in your appeal application. You have 15 minutes to present.
I think there are a few things that concern me. One is that relative to the comparable that was used, it certainly made sense. It was comparable that was, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, so I don't give.
Mr. D'Urso, could you hit the button on your mic there? So, yep.
Is that okay now?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So the comparable that I understand was most relevant, I thought, was the one on Seaview Drive on Route 1. And so rather than you folks gave a spreadsheet to me about five comparables. And when I looked at it, they had sales, and then they had the adjustment that you're bringing to make it as of June 30th, 2023, was, I understand, the process. So if it was a 2022 sale, you had to do something to raise it to the what seemed to be the number that would have it sold for in June of 30.
Right.
Okay. So I think the comparable that was used was the one on Seaview Drive, because that was right on Route 1. I'm right on Route 1, okay, as opposed to being on the east side towards the ocean. And that comparable was there for 2.3, and I think there was an adjusted value of 2.6 that was being used. But I gave three comparables up top, one of which was Stephanie Drive, which is directly also on Route 1. Now, I understand that was a sale in 2021. I also understand that the sale in Seaview Drive was on 8-2021. But those are 2021 sales. If I looked at the sale number you had for, and if I'm wrong, tell me, Seaview Drive, essentially the sale price plus the adjusted value was about 10%. And I certainly don't believe that if we look at Stephanie Drive with their sale price, that the adjusted value would be 1.5%. That would be 10% as well. That would seem to be markedly not the right number for the market. That would be too low a price. But there's a gross disparity there, and my understanding is that there's a formula that's used to take the number from sale to project it as a June 2023 value. And that's a proprietary document from the Tyler Corporation. Okay, and that we're not allowed to kind of get behind the Oz, you know, curtain. But there's a big difference between the numbers up top in green. Well, I don't know if your spreadsheet that I sent is in color, but the top three would be relevant comparables. Different, I put some notes there, how far off they were from the ocean, how far they off were from Route 1. So that's the first thing. I think that certainly if we added 10% to the Stephanie Drive sale number, which was only 3 months prior to the Seaview Drive one, and understanding the differences between homes, I'm not going to belabor this, that if I added 10% to 1.5, that's a markedly lower number. I don't think that's a real number either in terms of fairness and equity. So I think that's the first thing in terms of the valuation. The second is, and I don't know whether my three, Turn Road, Kittiwake Drive, and Stephanie Drive, had the same projection forward to 2023. It seems that was done for Seaview Drive, but I don't know if that projection was brought forward for those three other properties. And so I couldn't find it. I think I killed three trees. I printed everything you guys told me that I should go to find the information. And so I don't know that there are true 2023 projections with my comparables. And as you can see, the comparables are grossly different in terms of money. And so there's $1 million difference essentially between all of these properties. And so I'm not sure why those comparables don't factor in as well, or what was done to factor those in. Then I went to the sheet that you folks gave about the property calculator. And it said, you know, here's what happened. So if, you know, you got reassessed, you're going to pay $3,600 more, which is 200% of what I was paying. If your bill didn't change, this is what you would have paid. And the biggest change is because of the assessment and tax changes. Where was that statement? Somewhere in these five things, you said that in part, the biggest problem is that the assessment that's elevated is because of an increased school tax. Somewhere in here. And that's a circular argument, because if you change the valuation of the property, you're going to get more school tax, and the school tax is going to get a bigger percentage. So I went to look at the school tax. The school tax budget didn't increase by 300%. The school tax budget increased by 10%. And so if part of the rationale is that these reassessments are necessary and by, I don't know, statute, whatever, agreement, by covenant, whatever, you know, the yeoman share of this goes to the school district, that number far exceeds what the school district actually runs on. And I would assume, and so that's the second area that I think tells me that the assessment numbers speak, and numbers are valuable, but my understanding was part of this uproar of folks is that it hasn't been done in a very long time. And when you try to make up for 40 years of not doing something, the chances of projecting right get smaller and smaller. And so I think that we can't make up this difference of 40 years in one fell swoop. And therefore, I think the numbers, while as a calculation work, I think by virtue of the comparables that were not assessed, or at least I couldn't find any adjusted 2023 number to those three comparables. I think the issue around the percentage of increase is not solely the issue. The percentage is that if part of the rationale is that there are things that the county feeds, like the school tax. The school tax was not 300%. The school budget was not 300% from the previous year. It was 10%. I think you have to take into account, and I understand construction per cost. I don't know where I am with time, so just shut me up. Oh, okay, thank you, six. Construction per feet is a nice number to compare properties to, except the construction per feet is not the same for each house. I happen to be lucky enough to buy a house, maybe not so, of a builder from Wilmington. It's well constructed. We bought it in 2012, and I haven't done a thing to it. And that's for a variety of reasons. You know, doing things will be expensive. And so I've got to be judicious about my improvements. There have been no improvements to my house. A lot of the comparables that I saw in the sheets that you get printed tell you what permits were filed, what additions were done, what additional kind of things people did to enhance their properties. And it seems that the formula overvalues size of lot. And you're going to say, well, it's a big lot. Yes, but you can't do anything with it. Size of lot as well as livable space, because it doesn't take into account the fact that there are no changes in this property. And many of the adjusted properties have had substantial work done on them, or some work done on them. And we've really not done anything other than, change air conditioner, air handlers. So, and the last piece of it, and I know, I don't know if this matters, when I looked at all the criteria tax boards use to determine yes or no, part of it is taking a step back as we would. I'm a retired university professor, so you don't just look at the data, you take a step back and say, does this make sense? And I don't think that in the areas of equity and making sense, this 300% increase makes sense.
Very well. Thank you. Are there any questions from the board? I do have a question. The Seaview property, what mm-hmm. development is that in?
Where would I find that? I have them here.
You're in Cotton Patch Hills.
I'm in Cotton Patch Hills, and
it may not be on there. It's not in your development.
Oh, no.
Okay.
It's not in my development.
Is it in North Bethany?
I think Mr. Callahan, I don't.
That is in the economic neighborhood for that, for the his Cotton Patch Hills.
It is north.
Very, very close to, just up the highway.
Anyone else? Hearing none, if a member of the board believes that the appellant has not presented any competent evidence of substantial overvaluation, they may make a motion to deny the appeal. Otherwise, we'll hear from the assessments department in support of their proposed assessment. I will turn it over to Mr. Keeler.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Based on the appellant's application and the submitted comparable sales, the assessment staff offered a stipulation agreement which the appellant did not accept. I will turn it over to our assessor, Mr. Joseph Callahan, to support the assessed value currently on the property.
Yes. During the course of the appeals process, I had some conversations with Mr. Dorso. Initially, one of his concerns was he felt that the property wasn't correctly measured. So I used satellite imagery and also on-site visit to the property to take a remeasure. And I did find that, unfortunately, there were some clerical mistakes made in entering the property, and some square footage was not accounted for. So we added that, which resulted in the stipulated change to value. The square footage of the property went from 3,078 square foot to 3,256 square foot. Based on the new assessed value for that property, we came up with a square footage value of assessment of $813.33. The appellate provided us three comparable properties, one of which he spoke to, which was the Stephanie Drive property. and also 39690 Kittiwake Drive and 39675 Turn Road, similar properties. The original or the top property, Kittiwake Drive, is only a 1,552 square foot property. It does sit on a smaller bit of acreage. However, it is assessed at it had a sale of September 2022 for 1.6 and time adjusted to 1,711,400, which gave a sales value of $1,102.71. $1,102.71. And the other property, not spoken to, which is the Turn Road, is a 2,200 square foot property, similar, all in the same economic neighborhood. It had an adjusted sale value, adjusted to June 1, 2023, to $2,043,300, which gave a $930.14 per square foot sales value. Combined with the Stephanie Drive property, which it had an adjusted value and of $655.11, which obviously it has a sale value considerably lower than the other two sample properties provided by the appellant. An aggregate of these three comps provided by the appellant gives a combined square footage of 6,481 square feet and a combined sales of $5,545,500, which provides us a average per square foot sales value of $855.65, compared to the appellate's property, which is assessed at $813.33. He is assessed $42.32 below the sales value of those two comparable properties. In addition to that, I was able to provide three other comparables. The Sea View, Mr. Dorso spoke to, and two others, all still in the same economic neighborhood, all of similar square footage, one being 39785 Fawcett Road, with it is a 3,038 square foot property. It had an adjusted sale to the June 1, 2023 market of $3,103,000, which gave an adjusted sales per square foot of $1,021.39. And 29764 Ocean Ridge Drive, a 3,001 square foot property, again, in the same economic neighborhood, similar property, has an adjusted sale of $3,121,700 for a square foot value of $1,040.22. Combining those three properties in comparison, we have an aggregate of $8,874,300 and a combined square footage of 8,724 square feet, which yields $1,017.23 per square foot sales value. And again, like I say, that's compared to the appellate's square footage assessed value of $813.33. So he is assessed significantly below the comps that he provided, the comps I was able to provide. If I take his comps and our comps and make an entire aggregate, I come to an average sales per square foot of $948.34. Have.
Okay. Thank you.
Do I get to ask a question?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yes, now you may cross-examine or question the appellant's the assessments.
No, Mr. Callahan's done all, no cross-examination. The issue is when you start comparing price per square foot, doesn't take into quality of the inside of the home, nor the location of the home. North Bethany is a very, if we're going to use that as a term, North Bethany is a very narrow strip. The Ocean Ridge property is one off the ocean, not on Route 1. If you look at the other one that he gave, was it Facet Road? That was four off of Route 1, but in that strip, as you may be familiar in North Bethany, there's only five homes or six homes that can be between Route 1 and the ocean. And I have to assume proximity to ocean and away from the busiest highway we have makes a difference. And we're directly on Route 1, and one these homes are, the Ocean Drive one is one off the ocean, and there's only four, five, six homes in that stretch that fit between the Route 1 and the ocean. So I have to assume that has some value to it in terms of the things closer to the ocean. And the other issue is the internal construction of the homes. What is it that's there? So I understand that you can come up with an average square foot. I was told that averages didn't make, somewhere in a process, Mr. Callahan corrected me, I was told that averages didn't carry the day, but averages appear to be carrying the day. So then I think there are these other factors that have to go into averaging. What's the internal construction? How modern is it? The two homes you're referencing were built in 2000, 1988 and 1991. My home was built in somewhere, I think, in the
1984.
So you're comparing 2000, 1991 and 1984, and substantially there have been no changes to the property since 1994 when it was built. The other issue, which I don't know if, I'll just say it and you can discount it. We have a water problem in Cotton Patch Hills, and my house is directly on East Drive, and any minor storm brings water up and over East Drive to the houses facing Route 1. So that's a factor when you sell things. Calculations are calculations, and he's done as obviously.
Okay. Are there questions from the board?
Mr. Callahan, if I may, could you elaborate again on the premises in question, its livable square footage, and the livable square footage of a comparable, I believe, that the county has provided that's on the same block? It's 29539 East Drive.
I didn't understand your question.
Talk about the livable square footage. Obviously, okay. Assessments are broken up in both parts, in property value and improvement value. Can I have you comment, compare the two comparable, well, the one comparable against the property in question?
The livable square footage that we work with is just that. It's inside livable square footage. So if it is a porch, even though we do tax it to a degree, it's not part of the livable square, the GLA number that we have. So that's what's used, and that's the number that we used. The other number doesn't factor into that. So,
because I'm seeing a difference, you know, of and maybe the information is wrong on our sheet here, that the premises in question is 1,300 42 square foot livable, but the comparable is 2362.
I'm sorry, I'm not following.
Obviously, the comparable seems to be a larger facility, a larger building, a newer building, and trying to compare apples to apples. I have to justify why at least the improvement value is dramatically higher on the premises in question versus the comparable that was provided.
One thing is the assessed value is based, is affected by the age of the property. That is a factor that goes in to determining the value. So a property that has been built in 1984, that value has already been depreciated from the assessed value. It's built into the working of the system. So that's already been taken into account for that.
So you would expect, I'm just paraphrasing here, I would expect because it's depreciated out that the value would then decrease for the actual improvement, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's all the question I had for you.
I want to continue looking at this chart, livable square feet. The subject part property, it says 1,342 livable square feet. Is that, do you agree with that?
Of the subject property?
Yes.
We're showing 3,256.
Okay.
Oh, so there is a difference. And so my numbers, the numbers I had here were incorrect.
The number that I have is the one I spoke to before is a result of me going back and correcting there looked to be a clerical error in how it was put on by Tyler, and then some minor measurement adjustments.
Thank you. That's the clarification I needed.
So the one that you're looking at and I'm looking at, that was provided by Mr. Dorso, is that correct?
I don't know who makes the sheet up.
The spreadsheet? The spreadsheet I provided.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking
yes.
at. And that number came from somewhere on records.
Okay.
But right. The number, and Mr. Callahan came out, he did all the measure. This, I don't know if you have this diagram, but this is the diagram that should be there. And that's where the increase in space came in.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. I had a question about the land. And I'm not sure who's best to answer this. So Mr. Dorso had said that you can't do anything more with the land. What does that mean?
Oh.
So you could not build, you know, more onto your, you know, like a big addition on your home, or somebody could not knock that down and build? Because, the lot you have is you know, much bigger than the others.
Yeah, so the property sits right in the middle of the lot. Okay, so if somebody bought this, they'd have to buy it for whatever they want to buy it for and then knock it down to make two lots. But that's not the I've gone through the covenants at Cotton Patch Hills a bunch of times. Certainly people are allowed to go outside their footprint, but they also have to go through a significant number of board issues. And I can't predict whether they would or wouldn't allow an addition. It sounds like there's a lot of square footage, but it's predominantly on one level. And so if somebody were to buy it, they would be rolling the dice, thinking that I can knock this thing down or add another 2,000 square feet. And it's right on Route 1. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's not like if we were a few lots in, you know, it might be worth it.
I know where it is.
Yeah.
If I may, the property, although adjacent to Route 1, is not directly on Route 1. It is on East Drive, which is a road that sits between it and the highway. And on the between East Drive and the highway is a planted buffer.
Also, if I...
We're not going to go back and forth.
Oh, okay, got it. Sorry.
This is the board's.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Right. Sorry.
Could you just? There's a lot of numbers thrown around. So you've verified his livable square footage. Could you do that for, could you give me that for Kittywake, Turn, and Stephanie? You have those numbers for his three comparables.
What we have on record for Kittywake is 1552.
Okay.
For Turn, 2,200 square feet. And Stephanie, 2729.
Okay. Any other questions from the board?
Mr. Callahan, quick question. After all your, it sounded like you put a lot of numbers into the averages.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever figure out what the actual number would be with your new average aggregate number on his adjusted square footage?
Apply that sales number to his? No, I did not. No. I just knew that the aggregate of the six comps was like 948.34, and we have them assessed at 813.33. So,
already,
any other questions for Mr. Callahan or Mr. Keeler? Very well. I believe we go to closing comments now. Do you have any brief closing comments, Mr. Dorsell?
Physically came to my house.
Closing comments from assessment?
I have no additional comments.
Mr. Callahan? Very well. I will entertain a motion to close the record on the hearing.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
I have a motion from Ms. Weiner and a second from Mr. O'Rourke to close the record on the hearing. We'll take the vote. Mr. Davis?
Aye.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Aye.
Ms. Weiner?
Aye.
Mr. Howard?
Aye.
And chair votes aye. The record is closed for the hearing. If any member of the board feels that the appellant has not met the burden of proof with the information provided in the appeal and the record, they may make a motion to deny the appeal. Or if a board member feels the appellant has met the burden of proof, we will need a motion to approve the appeal. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to deny the appeal.
Your reasoning?
In listening to the evidence provided by the assessor and by the witness, the homeowner, it just appears that using even with the upped square footage, I understand depreciation on the age, but knowing that a lot of the value out there is the land itself, the property is in a pretty rarefied area out there that's very sought after area and just a generally valuable area, I don't see that there would be, arguably I did a little calculation here, and according to the new number, you're actually well below what a fair assessment would be using the new numbers, if you even take your comps into consideration as well as the county's. So that would be my rationale.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'm gonna second that. And that's because I keep going back to that land. That land, you know, I understand the house is older, but the greater assessment is on that land. And even though you may not be willing to do anything, I think somebody else could come in and just knock the whole house down, put up a brand new house, and it would actually be more. I just think the land has a lot of value.
Okay, I have a motion to denied by Mr. Howard and a second by Ms. Weiner. We could take the vote and please give your reasoning. Mr. Davis?
I'm going to abstain my vote. I think it's somewhere in the middle.
Okay. Mr. O'Rourke?
I'm going to say aye to the motion. It seems that the valuations of the comps are relatively close to each other. And so I feel the appellate has not provided sufficient enough reason to return this for review.
So you're voting no on the deny?
I got for you, so we... Yes, I'm voting no on the motion to deny, correct.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Warner?
I'm voting aye.
Based on your...
Based on my, yes.
My Mr. opinion. Howard?
Aye, based on my...
And the chair votes aye to deny the appeal. I believe the square footage and the area that the house is located have a large reflection on the assessment, and the motion is denied. 3 votes yes, 1 vote no, and 1 abstention. So, although, Mr. Dorso, your appeal's been denied, you do have the right to judicial review in Superior Court. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
The next hearing is for Christine Ann Rivizzo for property at 13 Misty Vale Court, Milford, Delaware, parcel number 330-11-00-678-00. I don't believe the appellant is appearing. Excuse me. Since the appellant is not appearing, does the board have any... We're basing the decision on the appellant's submitted application and parables. Does the board have any questions for assessments? Or...
I would like to hear testimony from assessment.
So, Mr. Sowers, okay. Thank you. Then I will swear Mr. Keeler and Mr. Sowers in. Do you swear that the evidence you shall give to the board in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Sowers?
I do.
Mr. Keeler?
I do.
Very well. Assessments can present their case.
All right. Based on the appellant's application and the submitted comparable sales, the assessment staff did not believe there was sufficient evidence to change the assessed value set by Tyler Technologies. I will turn it over to our assessor, Mr. Jeff Sowers, to support the assessed value currently on the property.
Thank you, Chris. After receiving the appellant's appeal, they did submit 3 comparables. 2 of the 3 were not within the area. They were actually in Kent County. So we asked for more comps, which they provided the same 3 that we had used in a spreadsheet that they had sent. And after review of them same comps, the very first one, comp number 1, at 6177 Kirby Road, which is within the same development. It is the same style ranch home built in 2004 with the same square footage. And if you looked at the pictures of the 2 houses versus the appellants, they are, looks like the identical model. The first comp there was sold 217 of 23 for $320,000 with a adjusted sale value of $328,600. That is probably the best comp there is. The average price per square foot was $251.22. Another comparable was 56 Meadowlark Drive, which I believe is in the same subdivision as well, which is a ranch-style home built in 2006. It is more square footage of 16 square feet. It sold for $350,000 on 1210 of 21 with an adjusted sale price of $395,200, which gives it an price per square foot of $260.69. Comparable number three, which is also within the same development, that is on 39 Meadowlark Drive, is a ranch home built in 2006. It is 1,536 square feet and has a full finished basement as well. It sold for $352,500 on 12/28/21 with a adjusted sale price of $398,000, which brings it to $259.11 per square foot. If you average these out, the square foot is $257 per square feet versus the appellant's house, which is 1,308 square feet at $250.84 per square foot. And I feel that's, we're right in line with what we should be there.
Very well. Are there any questions for Mr. Sowers or Mr. Keeler? Very well. Do you have any further comments?
No, sir.
Okay. If any of the board feels that the appellant has not met the burden of proof with the information provided in the appeal and the record, we got to close the record. Do I have a motion to close the record on the hearing?
I make a motion.
Second.
I'll second.
I have a motion by Mr. Davis and a second by Ms. Warner to close the record for this hearing. And we'll vote. Mr. Davis?
Aye.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Aye.
Ms. Warner?
Aye.
Mr. Howard?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Motion passes. The record is closed. If any member of the board feels that the appellant has not met the burden of proof, they may make a motion to deny the appeal. Or if a board member feels the appellant has met the burden of proof, we need a motion to approve the appeal.
I make a motion to deny the appeal.
Second.
All the comparables in the area and the neighborhood supported the assessed value.
I second for the same reasons.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Davis and a second by Mr. O'Rourke to deny the appeal. And we will vote. Mr. Davis?
Aye.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Aye, for the reason stated.
Ms. Warner?
Aye, for the testimony of Mr. Sauer.
Mr. Howard?
Aye, for the reason stated.
And the chair votes aye for same reasons, the comparables that Mr. Sowers provided justify the assessment. Thank you. All right, move on to number three. Next hearing is for Jessica Crampton Bradley for a property at 9768 North Shore Drive, Seaford, Delaware, parcel number 331-6.00-376.00. And you are saying the same.
Pardon?
You are Jessica.
Jessica Ann Crampton Bradley.
Very good.
Sounds like a law firm.
Yeah. Thank you. I will swear you in along with Mr. Sowers again and Mr. Keeler. Do you swear that the evidence you shall give to the board in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Sowers?
I do.
Mr. Keeler?
I do.
Very well. Get back to my script. Okay. This is your opportunity to present testimony. However, you're limited to documentation and evidence that was included in your appeal application. You have 15 minutes.
Okay. I received an original appraisal of $376,000. In looking at the stipulation that was sent to me recommending a reduction of $348,000, that was based on an adjusted year built. The original was 1990, the original appraisal. The house is actually built in 1959. It is still structurally the same house. The square footage hasn't changed. I actually, and the 1,780 square feet as shown in the tax record is incorrect. I took a wheel and measured. It's 1,600 square feet. So in summary, the original appraisal was $376,000. Adjusted for 31-year additional age of the property was to $348,000. That represents $28,000 reduction. I think that's a little light, but whatever. And then my own understanding of the process, if I were to take that amount and divide it by the proposed or the square footage as shown on the tax record, that represents $195 per square foot. $195 per square foot times the actual square footage of 1,600 is $312,000. And that's what I'm proposing should be the assessed value. So I'm actually starting with the record as brought forth, but recognizing that there's some data issues that were incorrect.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board for the appellant?
Yeah, ma'am. Do you have a waterfront property?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
That would be an oddball question. Maybe it's a typo. According to the application, it says that you purchased property in 2023?
Correct.
And the purchase price is $474,000?
Yes.
Was there something else with the property at that point that made that value higher?
My desire to move where I moved, to be near my family.
Thank you.
And you said that you measured the property. So how did you go about measuring?
Okay, the basic shape of the property is a rectangle. And I'm only considering conditioned space. So it's basically length times width with a wheel.
Excuse me, ma'am. On your application, you said the reassessment occurred during my transition and purchase of my current home. Did you do some sort of major improvement to the home?
Was
that the transition just means you were moving into the home?
Yeah, I was moving from another place from the eastern side of the county to the western side.
Okay, but at that
point. But I've made no improvements.
And the sellers didn't negotiate with you some sort of improvement to the home?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Crampton Bradley, did you provide the county with any waterfront comparables?
That's the tough part, because the neighborhood, by definition, has a vast difference in types of property. The one that I can find that I think is most comparable doesn't meet the criteria of what I can provide to you, which, if you look at my application, it's the last one. It's 9644 North Shore Drive, has a little asterisk next to it. That property was sold in 2016, I believe, for $315,000. I'm not sure. I don't have it in front of me. And the assessed value of that property is $252,000.
You said that you had an appraisal done on your home. Is that correct?
I did not.
You did not. Okay.
Any further questions?
So I just want to be clear. With your purchase price of $474,000, and you believe it should be somewhere around $312,000, so you're saying it's that significant a difference?
I'm looking at the data that was provided to me by the assessor. I'm starting with that piece of information and going from there. They provided a value to me, and I'm correcting the data. Both the house, the year that the house was built, which was misstated at 1990, and the square footage, which is not 1780, it's 1600.
Is there a dock on your property?
Yes.
And is that was available then when you purchased the property?
Correct. And the house that I referenced, the 9644 North Shore, also has a dock. And its lot is over an acre. And mine is approximately 3/4 of an acre.
There's no other questions? I will, I would just like to turn it over to assessments. I want to hear rather than ask for a dismissal. Turn it over to assessments for their testimony.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Based on the appellant's application, the submitted comparable sales, the assessment staff did offer a stipulation agreement, which the appellant did not accept. I will turn it over to our assessor, Mr. Jeff Sowers, to support the assessed value currently on the property.
Thank you, Chris. After reviewing the appellant's appeal, I did determine that they did turn in five comparables. The first one was a ranch-style home that was considerably less square footage, and it sold for $255,000 with an adjusted sale value of $297,800. Comparable number two was a conventional home, which is not a comparable by style, so I did not take that really into account, nor did I do comparable number three because it is a Cape Cod, and it is not a comparable to a ranch home. The fourth comparable is a ranch home within there, which is 1,989 square feet, which sold for $350,000 with an adjusted value of $377,000 at a $189.54 per square foot. After that, I did find there is three comparables, as the subject's house was a valid sale, sold in 23 for $474,000. That technically is the most comparable home, is what your house, what you bought it for, or what you sold it for. But in consideration, I also took in two other comparables, which are within the same development. They are both ranch homes. One is at 1,700 square feet, and it sold for $273,000 with an adjusted value of $316,700 at $186.29 per square foot. The third one, which is on Shore Drive as well, ranch home, 1,989 square feet, sold for $350,000 with an adjusted sale price of $377,000. Which was $189.54 a square foot. When I averaged that in with the appellant's property as well, it comes to an average of $214 per square foot. And as of right now, we have the appellant on at $348,060 at $195.54 per square feet. She did mention that she measured her home and it come in at 1,600 square feet. This is something I didn't know about. So it could be a less, it could go down possibly if we were to have changed that and go out and measure the home. But that was not disclosed in the application.
I'm just curious why the application does, oh, sorry.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
You'll get a chance.
Okay.
Excuse me. Any other questions from the board? Mr. Sowers,
this property sold in 2012 for $299,790. Is that true, sir? Correct? For the county records.
Property sold in 2012?
Yeah, for $299,790. And the applicant wants $265,000 assessment, which is under the 2012 sale price. I'm just trying to confirm if that sold in 2012 for close to 300.
If the appellant's property sold in 2000?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the 2012 sale price now.
I don't think that.
Per the county records, it is noted as that, but I was just trying to confirm with you.
Is it appropriate to table this for further measurement?
Well, we just deny the consent back.
Okay.
Before we go on, I have one more question for Mr. Stavis. So how would we have measured that? Did you go out and measure it, or?
No, Tyler Technologies, they measured it. It was not stated in the appeal that there was a square footage issue. If there was that, I would have went out, remeasured it, done satellite measurements as well, and verified the information, yes.
Okay, so you don't know what you don't know?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
I do have another question. You gave us three additional properties.
Yes, sir.
The second and the third, were they have any waterfront or water access?
I am unsure. Shore Drive may. I'm not sure. I did not look into the waterfront.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. This is your chance to cross-examine.
One comment, which I don't understand why the forum doesn't have a space for square footage. You know, I kind of came to that revelation after the fact on the application. So that was my bad. I just didn't think about that until I saw the tax record and the discrepancy between 1780 and 1600. And I'd like to address that 2012 purchase for $299. That included an extra lot, which was later subdivided and sold off, I believe, for $156,000 as a building lot. So that purchase price included that lot. That's it.
Okay. Any further rebuttal from assessments?
No, sir.
Okay. We will entertain a motion to close the record.
Make a motion to close the record.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Davis and a second by Mr. O'Rourke to close the record on the hearing. We will vote on that. Mr. Davis.
Aye.
Mr. O'Rourke.
Aye.
Ms. Warner.
Aye.
Mr. Howard.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. The record is closed for this hearing. If any member of the board feels the appellant has not met the burden of proof with the information provided in the appeal and record, they may make a motion to deny the appeal. Or if a member feels the appellant has met the burden of proof, we will need a motion to approve.
I make a motion to deny the appeal based on the purchase price in June of $474,000 and lack of waterfront comps to support the value.
There's a second.
I'm going to second it, and that's part of my reason. But my other reason is that I don't think the county was, you know, like I said, you don't know what you don't know. And the appellant has said that, you know, there was no place on the form to list the square footage. But when it says briefly discuss the reason for your appeal and for your conclusion of value, you certainly could have put that.
I agree. I did not come upon the discrepancy until after I'd already submitted the application.
Right. So at that point, I don't know that we could use that, because what we're doing is we're working with what was submitted. And maybe that's something, you know, the county can think about in the future is maybe adding that. But
yeah, it seems to be a pertinent piece of data.
Yeah, because if Mr. Sauer doesn't have that information,
I understand.
He can't do that.
Can I ask a question?
Nope. Record's closed.
Okay.
So we have a motion and a second to deny the appeal. We will now vote on that. Mr. Davis?
Aye.
Four.
To deny.
For reasons
stated.
Mr. O'Rourke?
I'm going to have to vote aye to deny, only because we only have the record testimony as it exists to be able to vote. While I certainly understand that you may have a discrepancy there, I don't know how much that discrepancy is going to really affect the value, given some of the other values on the comparables that are in the area. I think you're well within that range at this point, so I'm going to vote to deny.
Ms. Warner?
Aye, for reasons stated.
Mr. Howard?
Aye, for
reasons. Reasons stated by?
I agree. I think the purchase price significant difference.
And the chair votes aye, concurring with Mr. Howard. So motion is denied 5-0, but you do have the option of appealing in Superior Court.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next hearing is for Diane J. G. Lalime, 19815 Sherling Lane, Lewis, Delaware, parcel number 334-11.00-223.00. And it's my understanding that the appellant will not appear. And seeing no one, I will swear in assessments. Please state your name for the record.
Will Godwin.
Will Godwin. Mr. Godwin and Mr. What's your name? Healer. Do you swear that the evidence you shall give to the board in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. So we have the record. So what we have on record is the applicant's application and any attachments. That will be our basis for review, along with the testimony of assessments. So, Mr. Keeler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Based on the appellant's application and the submitted comparable sales, the assessment staff did not believe there was sufficient evidence to change the assessed value set by Tyler Technologies. I will turn it over to our assessor, Mr. William Godwin, to support the assessed value currently on the property.
Thank you, Mr. Keeler, board members. So appellant's property is located in the retreat. The three comps that the appellants gave me were the following. One is from the retreat, but the style of the house is a conventional home. The other two comps are from a different neighborhood that's located down the street, but the amenities are not as nice. And one of the comps is a different style of house, which is a Cape Cod. I have four comps that are the same ranch style with an average sale price from January 1st, 2021, $667,500 to June 30th, which is $751,275,000. The average price per square foot is $288.72. The appellant's price per square foot is $278.82. That makes it $9.90 below the average. And throughout the retreat, the land price is the same.
Any questions? Hearing none? I will accept the motion to close the record on the hearing.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. O'Rourke and a second by Ms. Wanner to close the record. Mr. Davis.
Aye.
Mr. O'Rourke.
Aye.
Ms. Wanner.
Aye.
Mr. Howard.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. The record is closed. If any member of the board feels the appellant has not met the burden of proof, they may make a motion to deny the appeal. Or if a board member feels the appellant has met the burden of proof, we will need a motion to approve. Is there a motion?
I make a motion to deny the comps within the appellant subdivision were the same style and size that support the value.
Second?
I'll second that because the comps are in a different subdivision.
Okay. I have a motion by Mr. Davis and a second by Ms. Wanner to deny the appeal. We will vote on that. Mr. Davis?
Aye.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Aye, given the insufficient evidence provided by the appellant to support a change in the assessment.
Ms. Wanner?
Aye, for reasons stated.
Mr. Howard?
Aye, as the appellant provided comps from a arguably less desirable neighborhood.
And chair votes aye to deny the appeal based on the record. The motion is denied, 5-0. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Wanner and a second by Mr. Davis to adjourn this meeting. And we will vote, Mr. Davis.
Aye.
Mr. O'Rourke.
Aye.
Ms. Wanner.
Aye.
Mr. Howard.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Meeting is adjourned at 10:20. Hey, I'll do this.
There you go.
We're off camera. That actually, that was not a no. It was a yes to deny the motion, but on that very first
time. Oh, okay.
But it doesn't matter. It still failed.
No. Yep. Very good.
We're going to have another one in May.
Yeah. Just.